and we looked at the Trinity and that sort of things. A lot at Christ, our Redeemer, the work of the Redeemer. And today, I want to look a little bit at the work of the Holy Spirit. I honestly was not looking forward to this because not only is there a lot of controversy on this subject, it's one that I really didn't feel like I knew a whole lot about. So that being the case, pretty much all I can do is read to you an overwhelming number of verses in the Bible that give us details of what the Holy Spirit did or does. And so, you're going to have to pay close attention because it's going to be a little monotonous as I go through this. But there is a lot of information here. I guess let's start with prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for the Spirit to work in our hearts and lives. And we pray that he would be here this morning to convict of sin and of righteousness and judgment. Father, use this weak, base vessel that I am, and use this weak, base message that I will preach this morning. Use it for your glory and the edification of your people. We pray that you would be with us and bless us. Amen. Through the Bible, we see the Holy Spirit coming upon men and clothing them with power to work as a prophet, as a leader, as a worker of another kind. We see Joseph was filled with the Spirit, enabling him to be the leader in Egypt. We find that Pharaoh recognized this in Genesis 41:38, and Pharaoh said unto his servants, "Can we find such an one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" Bezalel was filled with the Spirit, enabling him to do the cunning work needed for the building of the tabernacle in the wilderness. We find in Exodus 31:1-5, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in cutting of stones, to set them, and in carving of timber, to work all manner of workmanship." And we find a repeat of the same in Exodus 35:30. "And Moses said unto the children of Israel, See, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to devise curious works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in the cutting of stones, to set them, and in carving of wood, to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach, both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan." So here we see in these men that the Holy Spirit enabled these men to work with their hands, and that they were able to teach others how to work with their hands. The Spirit came upon men, and they prophesied or preached. We find in Numbers 11:27 that a young man ran and told Moses and said, "Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp." And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, "My Lord, forbid them." And Moses said unto him, "Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and the Lord would put his Spirit upon them." And then we find that not even all the people that prophesied were godly. We find in Numbers 24:2, and Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And it goes on. That's when he prophesied his prophecy of Israel. We find again that Saul, in 1 Samuel 10:10, when they came hither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, that's Saul, and he prophesied among them. But, of course, most of the men through the Old Testament were godly. And one specific I want to read here is in 2 Chronicles 15:1, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Azariah, the son of Oded, was a prophet. And he prophesied when the Spirit of God came upon him. Further, we find that the Holy Spirit is the inspirer of Scripture. 2 Peter 1:21, For the prophecy came not in old time but by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And we find a clear example of this recorded in Hebrews 3:7, where we read, Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. In the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation, and said, They do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. And that is a quote from Psalm 95. The psalmist wrote these words, but the author of Hebrews says, The Holy Ghost said it. We find that the Holy Spirit convicts of sin. We find in John 16:8, And when He is come, when the Holy Spirit is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. We find that He works to regenerate. In John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Then we find in John 6:63, Jesus said, It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. We find in Titus 3:5, speaking of salvation, Paul writes, Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We find that the Holy Spirit is the author of assurance in Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Hebrews 10:15, we find that the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. In 1 John 4:13, hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. He's the author of assurance. And He's the teacher, and He testifies of Jesus. We find in John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, Jesus is speaking, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Next chapter, in John 15:26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of Me, Jesus said. John 16:13, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. Again, it was Jesus speaking. And then, in 1 Corinthians 2:9, but, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. We find also that the Holy Ghost dwells in the disciples of Jesus. John 14:16, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. 1 Corinthians 3:16 we read, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Ephesians 2:21. In whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. In 1 Peter 1:11, we find the prophets in of their own writings searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. First John 3:24. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us. We know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. This verse is illustrated by the story of the man who was walking down the beach, and he sees a bottle. He picks it up, dips it in the ocean, fills it full, presses the cap in, throws it out the ocean as far as he can, and he says, there. The ocean is in the bottle, and the bottle is in the ocean. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. We find that the Holy Spirit sheds abroad the love of God in our hearts, in Romans 5:5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We find that he makes virtues blossom. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We find that he is the Comforter. I just read you these verses, but I'll read them again. John 14:16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he will abide with you forever. John 16:7. Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And we find in Acts 9:31, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. We find that the Holy Spirit sanctifies. In Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. The power that raised Jesus' dead body out of the grave is the same power that dwells in the believer, enabling us to live holy lives. The Spirit sanctifies. And again, a verse that I just read. Or maybe not. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Galatians 5:22 again. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. We find that the Spirit gives gifts for the edification of the church. 1 Corinthians 12:3-11. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. We find that the baptism of the Holy Ghost was the initiation of Pentecost in Acts 1:4. And being assembled together with them, this is Jesus, being assembled together with the disciples, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And then we find in Acts 2:4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We find that the Holy Spirit empowers believers to preach Christ. In Acts 1:8, we continue the words of Jesus when he was gathered together with them. He says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. In Acts 4:31, we find the disciples were again in one place, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with boldness. We find in Acts 17, the story of Paul just after his road to Damascus. The Lord comes to Ananias, tells him to go heal Paul. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house. and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight and forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Acts 19:4. There was the 12 men that were baptized with the baptism of John that Paul came across. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on him, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. The Holy Spirit was the anointing in Jesus' life when he walked this earth. You remember the story when he stood up in the synagogue, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That passage starts out, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he goes on to say all those things. And then Jesus ended by saying, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. John the Baptist, speaking of Jesus, said, For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. In Acts 10:38, Peter says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Sorry, this might not have been Peter. But anyway, it's in Acts. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The Holy Ghost was the anointing in Jesus' life. We find that the promise of the Holy Spirit is to all people of all generations. In Acts 2:38, Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Cornelius and his family received the Holy Spirit. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then we find that not only is the Spirit promised, but it is required. In Romans 8:9, and I already read this verse, But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now if the Spirit is necessary for salvation, if without the Spirit you're not owned of Christ, we ought to be very sure that we have the Spirit. But how? In the church today, there are thousands of people promoting thousands of false ways to know if you have the Spirit. And one of the most common errors in this matter is speaking in tongues. Many people will tell you, if you speak in tongues, you have the Spirit. If you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Spirit. And that's so overly simplistic. It's horrifying. I just spent half an hour talking about the work of the Spirit, and maybe 15 seconds of that was speaking in tongues. Beside that fact, we need to figure out if the Pentecostals even have the definition of speaking in tongues correct to begin with. Some will even promote speaking in tongues as a means to receive the Holy Spirit. But there are two verses that I know of. There might be more, but there's two verses that give us details about how to receive the Spirit. Jesus said in Luke 11:13, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" And Peter said in Acts 5:32, "And we are His witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him." Whom God hath given to them that obey Him. So again, if having the Spirit is so essential, how do we know? Jesus likened the Spirit to wind in John 3. So let's take that illustration for a moment. Wind comes and goes. Yet you can't see it. You can't smell it. You might be able to feel it. You might be able to hear it. But you can easily see what the wind is doing. You can easily see the grass waving. You can easily see the trees waving. And you can also easily smell the neighbor's horse farm if the wind's blowing across his farm. You can't see the wind, but you can see its actions. You can't see the Spirit, but you can see His fruit. Imagine having an invisible tree in your backyard. You can't see the tree, but you can see the fruit hanging in midair. And you can easily find the tree because the fruit is right there. We have just looked very extensively, not conclusively. I'm sure there's things that I missed. But we've looked very extensively at a list of the works of the Spirit. And all of these things are important. But some of them are of utmost importance. And I want to review those things. Only one of these verses that we looked at in all this time tells us explicitly this is the fruit of the Spirit. If you're going to discern the Spirit, if you're going to try to detect the presence of the Holy Spirit in someone's life, start there. Jesus said, "You shall know them by their fruit." When you're looking for fruit, the Bible gives us a very specific list of fruit to detect the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to read those verses again. Galatians 5:22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Start there. If you were to have me meet up with a friend of yours that I'd never met, you tell me to go to a mall at a certain place, the friend will be there. You're going to give me details about this friend so that I can recognize them without ever having seen them. And the details you're going to give me are going to be the most distinguishing about that person. You would tell me if your friend was tall or short. You would tell me if your friend had light hair or dark hair. You wouldn't tell me that your friend wore a size 7 shoe. Now, if your friend wore a size 18 shoe, you might tell me that. And you would pick out the details that are most distinguishing. And now when Jesus was talking with his disciples, one of the subjects at that very end that he was dealing with was, I'm going to send the Comforter. And he gave his disciples some details about the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to suggest that those verses are the most important verses in the New Testament when we are on our quest to figure out how to know the presence of the Spirit. Because the details that Jesus gave his disciples are the details that are most distinguishing. And Jesus says, and so I'm going to review these verses as well. I already read these, but this is review. John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. John 14:26, a couple verses later. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And then, once again, after the resurrection, Jesus is raised from the dead and he's with his disciples and he reassures them that the Spirit is coming. And he told them now, not details about the Spirit, how to recognize him, but he told them what they would do under his influence. I believe this also is of high importance. In Acts 1:6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. These verses, I am convinced, are the most important verses on the Spirit in the New Testament. And in these verses, we find that when the Holy Spirit is present, he will teach the truth, he will bear witness of Jesus, he will convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And under his influence, Christians will witness for Jesus or preach the gospel. They will be joyful, they will be peaceful, they will be long-suffering, gentle, full of goodness and faith, meek, and temperate. If you will try the spirits to see whether they are of God, as John exhorts you to do in 1 John 4:1, start there. Let's close with prayer. Our Father, I pray that you will take these verses that I read this morning, that your Holy Spirit would convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Father, we pray that you would work mightily in each of us and in this church. And be with us in the next hour. Be with everyone who speaks. Father, open up our hearts and our minds to learn more. Father, then give us the power to produce these fruits that the Spirit is to have in our lives. Amen. And let's dismiss.